And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We got a lot going on this week. SEC Media Days is underway. Chase and Big Joe are down there for that all week long, so looking forward to that. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Joseph, good morning. How we doing? What's going on?
I mean, doing okay except for the FOMO. Big time FOMO.
I knew you would have some today.
Yeah. Who's talking today? I haven't even looked at the schedule because I wasn't going this year, but
well, you got Shane Beamer speaking today. So,
goodness.
Goober alert! Goober alert!
You don't need to go any further.
Don't need to go any further than that.
Beamer ball.
Actually, Brian Kelly is going to be the one opening us up, so he will talk the earliest at 9 o'clock later this morning, which I believe is 9 o'clock Eastern time, so 8 o'clock our time.
Okay, so South we'll Carolina. Actually have stuff in our before our show ends.
Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, speaking today, and Vanderbilt, Clark Lee.
Okay,
speaking today.
It's not bad.
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, Lane and Beamer will certainly both say some stuff that's a little off the wall, I would guess.
Yes.
You know, BK, hopefully he'll bust out, that Southern accent. And then you got Clark Lee, the most likable coach in the SEC.
Yeah.
And most likable and least likable? Is it Clark Lee and Shane Beamer at each end of the spectrum? Is that what it is?
Could be.
And you could throw. For you, it could be.
Throw Drinkwitz in there, too.
Yeah, Eli and Beamer. I did see some tweets yesterday, people like ranking the SEC coaches by who would win a fight.
Yeah.
I saw some interesting takes on that. But Clark Lee, very high on that list, which I can
see that. Yeah,
he's still got that thick neck, you know, that full back kind of body, you know. Although he's so nice, you know. But then again, sometimes people like that, who you think they're
Drinkwitz
very mild mannered. Yeah, you think that, but who knows, man? Like, sometimes people like Drinkwitz end up being, you know, they fight dirty. You know, you never know. Some brass knuckles in the pocket.
Maybe so. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great, guys. Thanks. Had a wonderful weekend in the Cedars of Lebanon State Park for a couple of days.
That's awesome. Okay.
Good getaway with the fam. So, yeah, ready to get SEC Media Days kicked off, huh? How about it?
This is a rough day for
football
Ian.
Football time, baby.
This is a rough day for Ian because he's looking around in the studio right now, and I could see it on his face. There's no Wimbledon. Like, he's looking, he can't find Wimbledon.
There's nothing.
Wimbledon's been a staple.
We're watching
in his life.
We're watching Charmed right now.
Yeah.
TNT was on, so shout out Alyssa Milano.
Yes, great show. Always worth it. Because of Alyssa.
Exactly. That has been on in our studio before.
That's right.
But, I mean, Ian's been all in to Wimbledon the last few weeks, and now it's over.
Yeah. I missed.
Did you watch every second of that final yesterday?
Unfortunately, I missed the final.
Tough one.
Tuned into the women's final for a quick second and saw that our USA girl was down 6-love, 6-love, or something like that. I was like, guess she peaked a round too early. But
good run, though.
Yeah.
Good run.
And I missed the final. Busy, you know, but everybody had a great time over there.
Yeah, what's the next sporting event that is, because it's overseas, will be live in our studio? Like, sometimes there'll be soccer stuff. Obviously,
I mean,
whenever we have
the Open show starts thing. Later this week, baby.
I was going to say, when's the
Thursday?
British.
The what?
The Open, British Open starts later this week. All Let's get after it.
Okay, there you go.
Golf. Tally-ho in the
golf.
Morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Rex Rhodes fired up.
Well, that's exciting.
That's right, yeah. You sound very excited.
I missed the Korean baseball league. That was the only sports going on during COVID.
I don't know. You know, this time of year, I don't know what Joe ends up being more excited about, SEC Media Days or the British Open. It's not called the British Open anymore. That comes up.
Yeah, what's up with that? What did they call it?
Just the Open.
Just the Open.
The Open.
It's just like, it's because it's, yeah, it's so big, we don't even need to identify British. Yeah, it's kind of lame.
I agree, but that's what they're doing. It's the Open.
Is that like one of the terms of the Brexit? I need to know
how
this happened.
Maybe so. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us at 7:30. We will get into the Tennessee Volunteers with him. Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Deion Sanders is mad about something in the world of college football. We'll get into that a little bit later this hour as well. But SEC Media Days is beginning today. And Joe Vanderbilt will speak today, which means not only do we get to hear from Clark Lee, but we will also get to hear from Diego Pavia later today too, which has got some potential there.
That's got potential. That's the main event. No, there is little question that Diego Pavia is going to say something. And you know he's going to be asked a lot about the Vols stuff.
Yeah.
Now, my question would be, okay, when does Heupel talk?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if Heupel didn't talk until later in the week, then I would think there'd be a lot of Tennessee writers who would be waiting. But the Tennessee Homer contingent asking Pavia about those
comments could be
kind of good.
Yeah.
It's a real accusatory question. So I think we got potential here with this.
Yeah, Georgia, Auburn, and Tennessee and Texas are tomorrow. So Kirby Smart, Hugh Freeze, if he's not on the golf course, Josh Heupel, and Steve Sarkisian tomorrow. So there you go. You think Hugh's going to actually show up to the event, or is he going to be home like hole 13 by the time he's scheduled to speak?
Oh, my goodness. He's never going to live that down. So let's review that for people who don't know. Someone was tracking him via...
Yeah, like you can look up, basically, like if you're a golfer that logs your rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to get your handicap. Like, you can look that up for people. So, yeah. If I sat out there and golfed all the time and logged all my scores, people could basically tell how much I was golfing. So, apparently, Hugh Freeze played, like, 10 rounds of golf in June, and somebody found that down there. Because the big story with him right now is Auburn can't recruit for crap right now. Like, you look at the recruiting rankings, and they're terrible for Auburn heading into next year. And it's like, well, maybe if he'd get off the golf course, they could recruit a little bit better.
I mean, I saw his comment where he's like, I do everything that's possible. Sometimes at the end of the day, my wife and I'll go to the golf course, blah, blah, blah. And this does get into one of my pet peeves, which is like, so we know what someone's doing with their free time.
Yeah.
Whereas the other coach goes home and like watches Netflix and we don't know. Yeah. So then, but everybody else is like just recruiting somehow, even if there's like nothing you can do, they're just recruiting.
Well, then Hugh Freeze put up a picture of him winning some tournament.
Oh, baby.
And Lane Kiffin quote tweeted it. Was just like, hey, man, your swing's looking good. Way to go. Way to go, coach.
Now, that's some great trolling. And, of course, Lane was potentially, an Auburn coach.
Yes.
People thought maybe Lane was headed toward Auburn. So maybe he's got a little bitterness, extra bitterness toward Auburn anyway as he looks at that. But, that'll be very – interesting too. Like, does someone ask Hugh Freeze about his golf?
Yeah,
about the golf game. I'm here for that.
You know what the craziest part of this is, and I had known this, but when this event comes up, you look back at it, and we're going to get into like a coaching hot seat part of this later. Nobody got fired last year in the SEC.
Yeah,
that's wild. Like that almost. I don't know what the stats are on that, but I would have to think that is extremely rare.
Well, yeah, most years there's at least somebody, and especially when you expand the league like this,
exactly. Then
you have more swings at the – right?
There's not a new coach coming into this.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great to have that. I'm sure you figure it out, but, like, how many years of the last, 20, 30 years has that been the case? I bet you a couple.
Yeah, probably at max.
Two, three, four?
Maybe. Doesn't happen very often.
No. Which means there's like six firings coming this year too.
Could
by the way. So the hot seat combo.
I will say though, is
good.
One of the interesting conversations in college football right now is with all this money that's being thrown around with NIL and now you've got the house settlement and all that money that comes with that. Like, are teams going to be less willing to add in like a coaching buyout payment to all that? And will some of these guys hold on to their jobs maybe longer than they otherwise would have?
Yeah, there's that, and then there's also the – I swear I said this at like an athletic college football meeting a few years ago, and some people looked at me like I was crazy. And maybe it's not going to go this far, but like, do we have at least a slowing down of coaching salary inflation? Because look at the way that a lot of these schools are now supplying their front office like it's a professional front office, which, of course, we know in the NFL, in a lot of cases, a GM, a head coach, I mean, I think head coaches still make more on average, but they both are very highly paid positions, right?
Yes.
So if the personnel side of this requires that kind of investment, I think I might have said our coach's salary is going down, which, I mean, that's not going to happen. But are they going to slow down in terms of the wild inflation along with, like you said, a little more patience just because you can't keep paying people to not work for
you? Well, just like think about the move a couple years ago by A&M to fire Jimbo Fisher and how much money was left on that contract.
Right.
Now, I know A&M's got a ton of money, and there's that part of it too that you have to factor in. But think about, like, you got boosters looking around saying, all right, so NIL, got that. Now you've got the revenue sharing that's coming in, so that helps. But we're going to pay a $70 million buyout? What? Okay, cool. I just don't know that that's going to happen very often anymore.
Right, and so then you get into if you're a booster at a place, or you're a president, you know, how can we not let the tradition of a coach's agent schooling an AD keep happening? Because some of these deals have just been insane. So there's that too. Like, can you be smarter on the front end in terms of the contracts you get? But you know, it's just like paying players. If you think you've got the next great thing, I mean, I didn't know this. I was driving in today listening to Unsportsmanlike.
You nailed it.
Thank you. And
well done.
Apparently, Courtney Cronin said that Ben Johnson's making $13 million. I hadn't seen that reported.
I hadn't seen that either.
$13 million.
I guess that doesn't surprise me.
I mean, that's
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money
for an NFL coach.
Like, there's still like the absolute white whale out there. Like, you know, it's like, no, if three or four schools are going after the same coach, you're still gonna have ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, just like with players, we're trying to do all this stupid NIL go crap. And it's like, when you got that one quarterback that Georgia, Bama, Penn State, Ohio State all want, the market is going to dictate a huge number.
Here's the one thing that I wonder if it slows down. Like, forever we went through this, and it happened with Pruitt, and it's happened all over the place. Like, a coach would have like 3 years left on their deal or 4 years left on their deal, and all of a sudden news would come out that they've gotten a contract extension.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, why are you giving this guy a contract extension? I wonder if some of that stops stuff.
I think so. I think that's one of those, along with the facilities absurdity, that has to. And I think we're the idea, because that's always been the wall. We need to be able to tell recruits that, that he's got five more years.
Yeah.
And again, with considering how temporary everything is now compared to how it used to be, that's another thing where it's like, really? Is that what matters? Or, you know, do you just pay someone for their contract and then, you know, players are more concerned about other things than whether this guy's going to be there. They might not be there.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, you know, Tennessee just made the playoff last year, and then some of the conversation this offseason is like, well, Josh Heupel didn't get an extension. It's like, well, he just got one like the year before, didn't he? Like, good God.
It's okay to just keep working on your contract.
I think he's under contract to like 2029. Like, I think they'll figure one out eventually, I would hope, if he continues to recruit well and win.
You know?
It's amazing how that works. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will hear from Clark Lee and Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt later today down there at SEC Media Days. What is a fair expectation for Vanderbilt football this season when you factor in the quarterback that's coming back, but also the schedule that they've got in front of them? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, the game.
Vanderbilt's going to run Tennessee after this year. Like, this is going to be the new staple of, like, college football. It's going to happen here at Vanderbilt.
Do any of you and the boys ever, like, talk about that? Like, we got to be the state school.
Well,
we're in Nashville, Tennessee. Like, we're in the Music City. Like, we need to be the brand of Tennessee.
Everyone wants to come to Tennessee because of Nashville. So they want to come to Nashville, so Vanderbilt. And then when we have, like, the most money in NIL, like, why not come here? So, like, we literally just have to win this year and throughout the rest of the year. It'll take care of itself.
You think Vandy will have the most money in the game?
I think we'll be up there.
Yeah.
But, like, it's Nashville.
Yeah, there's a lot of big hitters around here.
Yeah.
They just need a team to believe in.
Yeah, that's all they need.
They need Diego Pavia.
That's Diego Pavia on with Bussin' with the Boys a few weeks ago, discussing the state of Tennessee and how Vanderbilt's going to run it, which made its rounds throughout the state of Tennessee.
I'm here for it.
I'm here for it, too. Diego Pavia will be speaking later today down at SEC Media Day. So who knows what he might say down there. That would I think, honestly, him more than probably anybody. I'm looking forward to seeing what they say down there. I mean, all these coaches, like Lane Kiffin may say a few good stuff, but other than that, like, you kind of know what it's going to be. Pavia, I'm very much looking forward to today.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, a year ago, he was really still anonymous. I mean, yeah, like, I guess Auburn fans knew his name because the year before that, he'd gone in with New Mexico State and destroyed their team. But the week before Bama, but I mean, he's never had a situation like this media-wise to be into, holding court with a whole bunch of people around. Again, I hope some of those Vols homers are, how dare you?
Do you have any regret saying those words about the state of Tennessee?
Oh, man. Yeah, it should be fun. I mean, look, I don't know that I could buy Vanderbilt, like, at the very top of the food chain financially. But, again, like, who had Texas Tech on the bingo card? You know, like, they have one guy in particular. I guess it's two who are, like, business partners. But one, Cody Campbell, he's become a public figure in college football because he's just a billionaire who's like, yep, we're just going to load up. And, good, you know, we'll see where it takes us. You know, is that what it takes? I mean, to me, you have to have a lot of different people. We've talked before about Vanderbilt and how I think in the past it was always kind of like, we need money. John Ingram, hi. Hey, I know we haven't talked in a couple weeks since we last asked you for money. But, you know, and I feel like you got to have a wider net, of course. But if you got some really, really rich people who are really, really motivated, that can move the needle.
So, Joe, on the one hand, you're looking at Vanderbilt this year. And you've got an experienced quarterback that, when he has been healthy, has played at a very high level coming back for Vanderbilt. You've got an offensive line that they feel really good about heading into this year that's got a lot of experience. You've got an offensive system that I think worked really well for them for the most part last year. So on the surface of all that, there's a lot to feel really good about, I think, if you're a Vanderbilt fan heading into this year. On the other hand, Joe, you look at their schedule, which includes a trip to South Carolina, a trip to Virginia Tech, a trip to Alabama, a trip to Texas, a trip to Tennessee, and you think, wow, that's some very difficult road games that they've got coming up. That's not to mention home games against LSU. You got Auburn in there. Who knows what in the world Auburn's going to be this year. So it's a challenging schedule for Vanderbilt. Their win total on the FanDuel Sportsbook is the over-under set 4.5. Which I know Vanderbilt fans, if you're listening, say 4.5? What are you talking about? Like, we're going to be better than that. So how do you kind of compartmentalize all that, Joe, looking at the obvious strengths that it looks like they've got heading back into this year, compiled with a schedule that, particularly on the road, could be very challenging for them this year?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at them in a vacuum as a Vanderbilt fan, you should be very excited because of what you said. There's a lot on that offensive side of the ball to like. There's definitely some big-time talent on the defensive side of the ball, too. Fontenette, I think, is one of the guys who's going to be there at SEC Media Days. But it's not a vacuum. It's also then compared with the teams on your schedule. And like you said, I mean, I think 4.5 is – I mean, I guess you can make the case for setting it at 5.5. But I don't think 4.5 – like, I probably right now would – I mean, I'd pick them to win 6. I'm picking them to go 6-6. But picking them to go 6-6 means there's something in there – that's at least per the odds makers that you're going to have to pull a surprise.
Well, you can't have any screw-ups
to get to 6. And then also you can't have like Georgia State like last year.
Right.
You know?
Who they play again, by the way.
Yes. Now, I do feel like because of that continuity you mentioned, I do think that we're going to see probably them handle business in the games they should handle business. And I think it's more reliable this year than it was last year when you're still trying to figure a lot of stuff out. They've got some stuff figured out. But – like, yeah, they're going to – somewhere in there, they're going to have to do something surprising to get to 6. Could they get to 7 or 8? Yeah, it's possible. But that means that there's some things that – well, I mean, again, without – again, it's not in a vacuum, so who knows what some of the opponents on their schedule could have issues with and things like that. But for the most part, that probably means that there's something – there's some other pleasant surprises that we don't know about with this team.
Well, it's interesting because, like, you look at – Pavia coming back, and Pavia, you know, we'll see what the future of quarterback looks like for Vanderbilt and the type of guys that they're able to get in here. But I do think it's a fair question to ask after this year, like, when's the next time they're going to have a quarterback that's like Diego Pavia, right? Like, we asked the same thing about Hendon Hooker, and people thought, you know, we were nuts. And it's like, okay, I understand Nico's coming in a couple years. Did you see the statistical year that Hendon Hooker just had? That's going to be very difficult to replicate. And frankly, they've not come close to that since he left at Tennessee. You know, Pavia, it's not exactly the same. Like, Pavia didn't put up a Hendon Hooker type of season last year. But you watch the guy play, and it's just big play after big play after big moment after big moment, and he was there to answer the call. So, I mean, I expect that he's going to do some of that again this year. What's that going to lead to as a win total? I don't know. But this seems like a year where you've got a lot of things lining up on the offensive side of the football. You've got a quarterback that you feel great about coming back into this year. Like, if you were going to make some noise, this kind of feels like the year if you're Vanderbilt, right? And then you look at the schedule and you're like, well, that's cool, but that's going to be a really hard thing to do based on where their schedule is.
Yeah, and remember when they had the kind of little breakthrough second season under Clark Lea when they got the Kentucky and Florida wins with Mike Wright actually back in at QB, quarterbacking both those games. The expectations were inflated going into the next year, and they did not handle that.
Nope.
I mean, they weren't good, but also I don't think they handled the expectations. So now expectations are definitely back in a big way. I mean, expectations are, I'm sure, I can't speak to the James Franklin era. Maybe year two, year three of his era would probably be similar, but, like, it's been a long time.
Yes.
So, you know, Matthew from Jolden says, Pavia has one good season, talks like he's the best college QB since Tebow. I could be missing something. It seems like the clip we just played was him talking about the future of Vanderbilt taking over Tennessee. They just have to win this year. I mean, maybe I've missed something where he says, I'm the greatest. But
maybe he'll say that today.
Maybe he will. But also, like, I mean, he had one season in the SEC. It was good. He was actually good before that. Like I said, the year before, he goes into Auburn, and people are like, who the hell is this dude destroying Auburn? From a guy who was a total non-recruit, by the way. So, and if you watch Pavia, you know, in the bowl game, that's where it's like, because he had had time to heal and he could actually move again, and he was a problem for them. It's just, he's hard to, you know, they've got some creative stuff, obviously, at the run game. It's triple option-ish at times, but then he can just make those throws to keep the chains moving. I mean, look, man, they should be excited. Vanderbilt fans should be excited. And he has, to me, he's established himself as, I don't know if he's, you know, is he one of the top quarterbacks in college football? I mean, statistically, it won't be like that. I don't think he's a Heisman guy. He's not a high NFL pick guy, but I still think he's one of the most valuable players in college football this
year. So what should fair expectations be for Vanderbilt this year with Diego Pavia back at quarterback, with an offensive line they feel really good about? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal of the week is Chiba Hut Toasted Subs, with a menu featuring over 30 signature sub sandwiches, as well as a variety of Rice Krispie treats, salads, and munchies. They combine homegrown food with real people in a relaxed environment. Get half off a $40 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. While supplies last. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. What are fair expectations for Vanderbilt this season with Diego Pavia coming back, an offensive line they feel really good about, Eli Stowers in the fold, who, depending on who you ask, Joe, some people think may be the best tight end in the entire country.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Not sure about that. I'm trying to think of – there's no, like, obvious – there's no Brock Bowers in college football, but this is a good time to start familiarizing yourself with
all the tight ends in college football.
And just various players. You always think about quarterbacks, but who are the other great players? But, no, I think he's an NFL prospect, and I think he is definitely – has a chance to be one of the best.
Vince from Waverly says, I'm a Vanderbilt season ticket holder. I expect 6 or 7 wins. Diego is a baller, and we brought in some linemen to help keep Pavia from getting beat up like he did last year, and Stowers is legit at tight end. I mean, to me, that's going to be a lot of what this year comes down to, Joe, is how healthy can they keep Pavia with the way that he plays, right? Like, we know that he's going to run the ball. We know that he's going to take some hits. We know that he doesn't shy away from contact. All those things are good. But can they keep him upright and mobile this year? Because, I mean, it was clear toward the end of the regular season last year, he was limited in what he could do running around back there with the injuries he was dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the performance he had at Kentucky was amazing because he was, I was like, is he like playing on a broken leg?
Yeah.
Yet he still made some huge plays. He had some terrific performances while hurt. And like I said, yeah, that end of the year, you saw the difference when he was healthy. And then you go back to like the Bama game before he got hurt and the problems he gave them. So it's a big deal. And it's like, you know, it's like you say, can they protect him? But really, can he protect himself?
Might there is be some as, of that
as
too.
Big a big a question. Because, you know, it's just one of those things where everybody loves it when you put your head down and decide to take on that safety. But also, like, you're the meal ticket, you know? And it's a long season, and you hope it's a really long season. So can you maybe be a little smarter at times? By the way, Athlon, preseason All-American list. First team All-American tight end, Eli Stowers.
I'm telling Vanderbilt. You. Yeah. Like he's going to get some of that.
And second team All-American is Jack Endries of Texas. So we're talking about like someone who's just going into a bigger role. So, yeah. Hey, maybe he is the number one tight end in college football.
Maybe so. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Yeah, how we doing? What's up, Joe?
What's up, buddy?
How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man.
Yeah, good. I'm listening to y'all talk about Vanderbilt. I hate to be a hater, and I love Vanderbilt, man. They did very well last year. Shocked the world with their record and the wins they had. Alabama and played Chase is great. But this year, you know, defensive coordinators on these other teams, especially the ones they beat, are going to be looking at a lot of film. And I think they're going to – I hate to say it, they're going to figure Pavi out a little better this year, and they're going to be ready for him this year. We're going to see if Clark Lee's a good coach or not, man. And I hate to bust the bubble this year, but I got him going 5-7 this year, man. I just think that, and what you were saying earlier, Robbie and Joe, about him, you know, he's a physical quarterback. He does like to take the hits. He comes to you now. I give him credit. Bobby is a great player. Probably the best quarterback they've had in the last 10 years. Going to miss him after this year, but they're going to be 5-7 after this year also. So, don't be mad, Nashville, but that's just how I feel about it. But, hey, Joe, Robbie, I was going to ask you, you going to the All-Star game down here in the ATL?
We're not there, so I won't miss out on it. We're in Nashville, but we're going to miss out on the All-Star game.
But that is a good question for Chase.
I think Chase may be there.
Chase is going?
Oh, okay.
Nice. Good deal.
We'll see. Well, I'm headed down that way, so, yeah. But I'm not going to the game. I just go down there and turn it every day. But, hey, man. Hey, Joe, y'all have a good day.
Thank
you, Joe, Mark. I'm going to call you. I'm going to get with you Wednesday, Joe, and get you hyped up now. We're still, we're going to have some of these long conversations again, man. You're slipping, Joe.
All right.
You're slipping now.
I need some motivation.
All right.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to motivate. See y'all, man.
Hey. Maybe you do need a little motivation coming up.
I think Stilley's going to wimp out this week too, though, right?
He might.
I think Stilley's going to wimp out again. Look, what Mark brought up there, heard it a lot, and I don't totally discount it, that the figuring somebody out, figuring an offense out. Yeah, I think he's right, especially those teams that lost to them that really got kind of exposed by them and didn't have answers are probably going to have more answers. I also think that, you know, that offense, like, there is a lot on him at times to read things and make choices. And if, again, that's the thing about, and it's not, obviously not, you know, it's not a straight like triple option offense or all option offense, but there's a lot of it is that. And so some of it is just basically him looking at the box, him looking at the alignment and making a decision. Obviously he's reading the end and things like that. And so if you have a quarterback who's good at that, some of that, you know, figuring him out is he going
to
make the right choice
right.
on a given situation? If he keeps making the right choice, you know, it's tough to deal with. But I'm very fascinated to see if, you know, some of these teams, especially like Mark said, that lost to them come with something better this year.
You're certainly, you know, I think people's minds immediately go to Alabama, right? And you took down Alabama last year. This year it's on the road. And you've already had Ryan Williams earlier this offseason say, quote, "We're going to kill an ant with a sledgehammer," referring to Vanderbilt football. So,
yeah.
I mean, first off, you know, when he said that, I think that was with Gruden, when he said that, you know, Stilley, among others, was like, Nick Saban would never allow this to happen. And maybe he wouldn't. But that kind of shows you, I think, where Ryan Williams' head is when it comes to playing Vanderbilt this year.
So if Ryan Williams is in the same situation with these – because, again, it's you got more, I think, of interviews like that, that it's almost like the NFL, like going to a random podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
So if Saban was a coach, he would have just like – he would have just – he would have like gotten shocked and just not
well,
saying
look,
that,
I mean
you – know?
I'm not going to sit here and act like if he said something like that, Nick Saban wouldn't have got all over him.
Well, sure, he would have been mad.
Yeah. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer did or not. I have no clue.
He would have been mad, and then this year, Ryan Williams would have not lost a single snap because of
because he's that good.
So, right. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, the Vanderbilt thing, another thing about Vanderbilt is they traditionally, historically – benefit on a weekly basis. Some of these wins they've gotten, you can't tell me that the other team took them seriously enough. I mean, I think that that's part of it. If you're perennially a doormat, then you have that advantage psychologically. A lot of times it doesn't matter because the other team is so much better than you, it doesn't matter. But, you know, this year it's not quite like, you know, being the hunted, like the championship team. But, like, there are teams this year that are actually going to be like, yeah, Vanderbilt, screw those guys.
Yep.
Let's beat them. Whereas, again, last year it's kind of like, okay, let's get through this week, and then what's our big game the next week, right? So that is going to be a little different too. They're going to have to deal with teams that, in some cases, revenge-minded, but even if not, have a certain level of respect for them because they earned it last year.
Well,
so that can make things tougher.
I also think there's going to be a certain level of respect that they get because of the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're going to look at – it doesn't take a whole lot of film to look at Diego Pavia and realize how dangerous he and that offense – can be. So, again, what does all of that mean for their win total at the end of the year? I mean, look, we mentioned the road games in conference that they've got that are really challenging. I mean, all of them in conference. South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee. Those are your road games in conference. Those are really challenging road games. You also go to Virginia Tech in week two of the year. And I know that, they beat Virginia Tech last year in a thriller at home. Like, that's not a – that's no picnic going to Virginia Tech in week two for them this year.
No, that game might be the difference.
Yeah.
You know, that game could end up being the difference between a bowl game or not. And, I mean, I look at that game as, I don't know, do we have early lines? I mean, probably Virginia Tech is a slight favorite in that game. You know, if we had early lines on other games, and I'm guessing they're probably 4-8 in terms of, you know, games that they're favored. They're probably favored in four games, right? So,
probably.
No, that's a tough game. And that one could set the tone for the whole season.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Deion Sanders is upset about something, and I wonder if Boomer Joe Rexroad agrees with him. We'll get into that coming up next, too. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jeremy Fowler's latest list is out. He's got the top 10 quarterbacks that the executives and coaches and scouts have voted on. So we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes because it is interesting. And somebody has voted a player on their fourth, which just drives me insane. So we'll get into that coming up next as well. First, though, Deion Sanders, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, Joe. Deion Sanders upset. He is upset at, in his view, a big problem in college football. And when I saw this headline, I was like, huh, I wonder what this is about. And then it did not go the way that I thought it would. So apparently Deion Sanders was upset about the uniforms and some violations in his mind in the world of college football. And you know how you look out there sometimes and these guys have basically nothing covering their knee. Like they've got these pants on that come up basically to their thigh. There's no knee pad. There's nothing covering their knee. Well, apparently Deion Sanders does not like that. He said, quote, "Let's do something about the uniforms. We got guys in biker shorts. It makes me sick because I'm a football guy. I played this game at a high level and I have so much respect for this game. How can we allow our guys out there in biker shorts, no knee pads, no nothing, literally pants up under their thighs, and that's cool? I think there should be a fine implemented for that stuff, and let's have more respect for this tremendous game. That's what Deion Sanders had to say. Joe, your thoughts on Deion Sanders trying to remedy a problem he sees in college football with the uniforms? Do you, as a fellow Boomer, share this take that Deion Sanders has?
Well, I'm glad Deion's really finally getting to the core issues of college football, you know. Finally, let's have
this conversation.
They
don't have anything on their knees.
I will say, is there not any value in having a knee pad?
I mean, you would think.
Like,
as somebody who has played football, albeit at a much lower level than SEC or Big 12 or Big 10 college football.
Yeah.
Every now and then you run into your knee with something. It'd be nice to have a pad there.
Yeah, I've never played tackle football without a knee pad that covered the knee, but I do see it. I suppose it's a – I mean, is it a speed thing, supposedly, or is it
comfort?
Like a – like a,
it's probably just a cool-looking thing.
Cool, yeah, so yeah. If it's just a cool-looking thing, then pretty stupid, you know? I think I'm with Deion.
I figured you might be.
I think I stand with Deion. Now, when I initially saw this topic, I assumed this was Deion – ranting about the alternative uniforms.
I thought it was too.
And then I was about to go go to the Colorado
website.
I'm talking
about your clothes.
Nice. About to go to the Colorado website and order a signed poster of Deion Sanders for $800 and become an NIL contributor to them because he agreed with me on that. But
I thought it was too.
Yeah, this is I'm with him. I mean, it's kind of dumb. And I mean, of all the pads you wear, of course you could never go without shoulder pads. Obviously, you can never go without a helmet. Like the thigh pads, that is, you know, helmets and shoulder pads hit that area a lot on tackles, right? Yeah. So that's like, that's a necessity too. I mean, it's the most extraneous of the pads. But again, there are times when I think the knee pads actually do give you a little help. You can get some nasty knee contusions.
Yeah, you can.
Biker shorts, that's pretty good.
I mean... Yeah, he's talking about fines. Is he talking about school fines, like team fines, or like individual player fines?
Deion wants this to be just the NFL.
It's
like
exactly
that's
what
it.
He wants.
He just wants this to be.
He
this,
wants the salary cap in there.
Yeah.
He wants all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So again, that I wish there was a cap. That was the other thing. The
Some
big
third
thing
string
said.
Cornerbacks in there. Hey kid, you're fined $5,000.
Yeah.
Because you're not wearing a knee pad.
You get half the allotment of eggs and training table for this. But, yeah, that was a big thing, you know, talking about the salary cap. And, you know, again, like one of the quotes you had was, quote, and he's talking about Texas Tech. Everybody's talking about Texas Tech. He says, quote, it's kind of hard to compete with somebody who's giving $25 to $30 million to a freshman class. It's crazy. That's all fine. So, again, if you want salary cap, then the people who are getting the salaries have to be able to agree to that and – work collectively, and then bargain for those rights.
Yeah.
See? So there you go, Deion. Get that and knee pads. Knee pads on knees, and we'll affix college
I'm going to be – I mean, I guess I need to pay pretty close attention this year in college football and see how many of the players don't have knee pads. Like, how many of these guys are running around in biker shorts? Is this some big – like, I mean, I've seen it. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever thought it was like some huge epidemic out there. I guess I need to pay closer attention.
Well, we were talking earlier about Ryan Williams. That's one guy that I think I've seen, and it's like, yeah, it's like.
I mean, I would assume.
It doesn't look like there's even knee pads in the pants, and they're way high.
I would assume this would be largely wide receivers and secondary players.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
No, which, by the way, you could still get hit in the knee.
Exactly.
Both of those. Both those positions.
And again, is it really. Like, does it really slow you down? For anybody who's ever held one of those knee pads, they weigh like 3 ounces.
Yeah.
You know, like, is that? But, you know, swimmers also shave their entire bodies to get a little bit more speed. So, I suppose I get it.
I don't know. I did not expect this to be what Deion Sanders was mad about. I'm like you. I saw the headline. I was like, oh, man, Deion wants to eliminate the alternate uniform.
Yes, like, Deion.
He's not a big fan of the smoky gray at Tennessee. Yeah. But that's not it. Apparently he's all cool for the alternate uniforms. I think the only person that doesn't like the alternate uniform is you.
Oh, there's plenty of people who don't like them, but everybody's afraid. No, none of these coaches will admit it because it's supposed to be a big recruiting thing. Can we get rid of that too? We were just talking about all the stuff in college football that's obsolete now, right?
Yeah.
you know, some of these ridiculous contracts, and you know, we get the GMs coming in. Do we really have to worry about, oh, the kids like these stupid uniforms, so let's go ahead and, or can we? Now, granted, an AD will tell you, yeah, that's a revenue source because I can now sell the alternative that's uniform true. To the fans. That's really what it's about. But if you're a coach, I'd love to see a coach have the courage. Maybe your guy Shane Beamer will do it today and just say, you know what? I like our traditional uniforms. They're really good. We're going to just do that now.
I mean, I will say.
There's a lot of bad ones.
If the day ever comes where, like, Tennessee's playing Alabama out there and they show up to that game in, like, a, you know, smoky gray, I'll be like, what are you guys doing? This is Tennessee, Alabama. Wear orange. They can wear crimson.
Right. Well, I mean,
I would love to see that, actually. Like, orange and crimson. They used to do that. Like, they wore orange.
Yeah. I'm not a big Alabama fan wore of that. Crimson. One of the teams should wear white, mm-hmm. I feel like. But, no, I mean, you think about even Tennessee wearing the smoky gray against Florida a few years ago. It's like, why? This is a big game. I've talked about that. Michigan State, Kirk Cousins, 2011, I think. Michigan State's in, like, these army uniform, you know, that's like the pro combat, and they look like, you know, they're in combat fatigues, and then Michigan has, like, these striped bumblebee uniforms. Yeah, it's the dumbest looking game. And that's normally an awesome uniform game. Like, it's a good class, the green and blue. Totally, like, ruin the game.
There you go. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Jeremy Fowler has come out with his latest list. It's the quarterbacks. They've ranked the top 10. And a couple interesting names in there in terms of where they're slotted. But there's another vote in this that I look at, and I'm like, who's voting on this thing? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.